The Dalai Lama arrived in Seattle late last week to promote compassion. He found himself talking about confrontation in Tibet, in China, and along the path of the Olympic torch. Once again, Tibet's Dalai Lama is caught up in the complications of being both a spiritual and a political leader. And he carries the expectations of those who come to see him, including 55,000 people who filled Seattle's football stadium.
If some people have believed or view that Dalai Lama have some miracle power, that's totally nonsense. I am just one human being.
The Dalai Lama insists he's just a simple Buddhist monk. He's also the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize and the head of a government in exile who fled his land nearly 50 years ago after Mao sent China's army into Tibet. I asked him about that when we sat down to talk.
You spoke here in Seattle about March 10th, 1959, and that was the week that you fled Tibet.
Yes.
March 10th of this year was the beginning of the demonstrations, some deadly violence in Tibet. Has this brought back memories?
Of course, in both cases, people suffer a lot. And from March 1959 till September 60, the number of people who killed, 87,000. So, of course, now this time, not that much sort of casualty. But essentially, you see, many people, as they arrest and rest of their life, going to be difficult. And if things continue as it is, then tightening control will increase. So naturally, a lot of suffering, a lot of problem, and great damage about Tibetan Buddhist culture. So it's a much, much worry. But big difference is at that time, my own life involved, whether I can survive or not. All Chinese artillery is these aiming to where I live.
The artillery was headed right in your direction. You are still a target of the Chinese, verbally. Over the weekend, China's president said the conflict over Tibet is not an ethnic problem, I'm quoting him, not a human rights problem. He accuses you of splitting the motherland. What's your response to that?
It is quite strange. But okay, if they really enjoy to attack on me. Okay, enjoy it. People, I think, don't believe that. Even Chinese own people, I don't think. One my sort of sadness is millions of Chinese, those innocent Chinese, who have no other way to access the situation, totally relying on the government information.
The media.
Then these millions of Chinese then really feel anger towards me, that I feel very sad. What's the way to tell these innocent Chinese brothers, sisters, the reality? But there's no way to send information or to send the news.
You have been very clear that you support the Olympics, that you do not support a boycott against the Olympics.
Yes.
But you also support people's right to demonstrate, free speech.
Right. You provided strictly nonviolent. So, freedom of speech is very important. Now, for example, among Tibetan and among our friend, some are very, very critical towards me.
They think you're too moderate.
Oh, yes. And for example, my own elder brother, one time he described me as a traitor.
To Tibet?
Oh, yes, he described, oh, my dear younger brother sold out Tibetan right. In history, you remain as a traitor. And also, even some Tibetans very critical about Buddhism. But you see, I never say to these people, shut up. No, I cannot say. It's their right to express what they feel.
That is a pretty extreme position to call you a traitor. What would you say is the reason for making Tibet's future as part of China?
Tibet materially backward. Meantime, every Tibetan want modernized Tibet. It's their right. More prosperity, a better facility in education, health, and daily life. So in this respect, China becoming richer, richer. So therefore, remain within the People's Republic of China. As far as material development is concerned, we gain much benefit. Since we have our own unique cultural heritage, including our language, our script, these matters should be in the hands of Tibetan who knows about our culture, about our religion.
Although Tibet seems to be seeing its culture sacrificed, its entire culture seems to be in the process of being destroyed or overwhelmed by Chinese.
Yes. With this present arrangement, whether intentionally or unintentionally, some kind of cultural genocide is taking place. Defense, foreign affairs, of course, the central government should take full responsibility. Then the rest of local business should be in the hands of Tibetan. Autonomy is meaningless, just on paper. So we are appealing to the Chinese central authority, now give us meaningful autonomy. It is we deserved in the constitution. In early 50s, Chairman Mao recognized Tibet case as something very special. So if Chinese government keep that spirit, then these problems will not happen.
And with that, the Dalai Lama's aide signaled he was already overdue for another event at this conference called Seeds of Compassion. He gathered his cinnamon-colored robe around him and smiled his goodbye. I put to him this one last question.
Do you think you'll see Tibet again?
Yes, we believe. We believe.
Tibet's exiled spiritual leader, the 14th Dalai Lama, speaking yesterday in Seattle. Tomorrow we'll talk to a scholar of Tibet about China's response to protests there and around the world.